Last week we saw that God, according to the counsel of his own will and for his own glory, hath foreordained whatsoever comes to pass. These are called the decrees of God. In short, God has planned everything. And he's done so with a divine purpose, with a reason. But question 8 asks, how doth God execute his decrees? And the answer is, God executeth his decrees in the works of creation and providence. So the question is, how does God bring about his eternal plan? How does he accomplish what he's decreed should take place? And we're told, and as we shall see correctly, first, through the creation of the universe, the world and the people within the world. And then second, through the guiding of creation, through what is called providence. This evening, we will look at creation. Question 9 asks, what is that work of creation? And the answer is, the work of creation is God's making all things of nothing by the word of his power in the space of 6 days, and all very good. We'll look at each one of these sections in this statement. For his own glory and according to the counsel of his own will, for reasons known only unto God himself, God created this world, this universe. He created all things out of nothing. This is referred to as creation ex nihilo. That is, out of nothing. How did the universe come to be? Where did we come from? How did this beautiful world come into existence? There's two possible answers. They're mutually exclusive. One is called materialism, and that says that the world, the universe, always was. Matter is eternal. Theism says God is eternal, and God created matter and all things. Something has to be eternal. If we think about it carefully, either the universe is eternal in some form or other, or God is eternal. Satan wants to have us embrace matter and forget God. Because if there is a creator, if God is the eternal one and he created all things, including us, then creation is subject to him. If God exists, then we are ultimately accountable to the creator, which means there could be a day of judgment. But the Bible answers, or teaches, is that it is God who is eternal. So Psalm 92 is one example. Before the mountains were brought forth, or ever thou hadst formed the earth and the world, even from everlasting to everlasting, thou art God. And this is what question 4 speaks to, isn't it? What is God? Well, God is a spirit, infinite, eternal, and unchangeable. So if God is eternal and matter is not, then how did matter, how did the universe get here as we observe it, experience it? The Bible teaches that the eternal God created it. It asserts it as a fact and assumes a knowledge of God. So Genesis 1:1 says, in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth, and there's no effort to explain who God is. Genesis 1:31, God saw everything that he had made, and behold, it was very good. And the evening and the morning were the sixth day. Throughout Scripture, in many places, we are told that creation is the work of God. For example, Isaiah 44, thus says the Lord, your Redeemer, and he who formed you from the womb, I am the Lord who makes all things, who stretches out the heavens all alone, who spreads abroad the earth by myself. The work of creation is attributed to the eternal God. And it's also attributed to all three persons of the Trinity. It's attributed to the Father. 1 Corinthians chapter 8 and verse 6, Paul writes this, yet for us there is one God, the Father, of whom are all things, and we for him, and one Lord Jesus Christ, through whom are all things, and through whom we live. As we read earlier in John 1, the creation is attributed to the Son, referred to as the Word, the living Word, by John in John 1. John 1:3 says, all things were made through him, Christ, and without him, without Christ, nothing was made that was made. And then the Holy Spirit as well. Job 26:13 says, by his Spirit, God adorned the heavens. His hand pierced the fleeing serpent. Genesis 1:2, the earth was without form and void, and darkness was on the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. All three persons in unity participated in the creation of the heavens and the earth. So our confession says this, it pleased God the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost for the manifestation of the glory of his eternal power, wisdom, and goodness in the beginning to create or make of nothing the world and all things therein, whether visible or invisible, in the space of 6 days, and all very good. Hebrews 11, that great chapter on faith, addresses this as a point of faith. That is, God's people accept it because God asserts it, even though we do not fully understand it or comprehend it. That is, all the things related to creation. But in Hebrews 11, beginning with verse 1, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good testimony. By faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of things which are visible. That's an interesting statement. Matter is created by God, not by itself or through itself. Biblical faith believes in a personal, all-powerful, triune God who has done as he wills in the army of heaven. The object of our faith is the eternal God who created all things by the word of his power. So as we saw earlier in Psalm 33, by the word of the Lord, the heavens were made, and all the host of them, by the breath of his mouth. So Hebrews 11 is not asserting anything new, just what the scriptures have taught from Genesis 1. By faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God. However, if we look at this verse a little closer, that is Hebrews 11:3, there are several things from this verse that stand out. First, the universe is not eternal. matter is not eternal. God is, but matter is not. There was a time when they came into existence, specifically at the command, at the word, or at the breath of God. And as we think about it, it's astounding. I have no idea how much the world, the earth, weighs. But it must be an amazing amount. And that's just one aspect of all of creation. And it came into existence, the scripture says, by God's word, his spoken word, and it happened. The universe did not produce itself. It was framed, it was put together by God with purpose, with design, with beauty. And all of this came about by the word of God. That is, God spoke and it was so. God spoke the universe into being, and the confession or the catechism goes on, in the space of 6 days, and all very good. Many today do not believe that. There are Christians who deny that. They've been taught that all things came about over billions of years from nothing or from very little, gradually organizing by chance over time into the beauty and orderly world that we see today. To me, that takes far more faith to believe than that an eternal God created with purpose and design. But the Bible clearly teaches this evolutionary concept of creation is wrong, because John 1:3 tells us all things were made by Christ. And nothing was made that was made. The Word was in the beginning, and all things were made by him, and nothing that exists was made without him. Peter teaches in 2 Peter 3:5, "For this they willfully forget, that by the word of God the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of the water and in the water." And it's an echo, isn't it, of Genesis 1. And this thought, this doctrine, this expression that the world and the universe and the heavens came from the word of God is repeated again and again throughout Scripture. Paul preaching to adherents of pagan religions on Mars Hill in Greece, proclaimed a living God who made the world and everything in it, since he is Lord of heaven and earth. And in faith we believe that God, according to his wisdom and by his omnipotent power, created the universe and all that is in it from nothing. Creation by divine decree is a basic cardinal doctrine of the Bible, not just of Genesis, as we've seen, but it's taught throughout the scriptures, Old Testament and New Testament. By the word of God, the things that are seen came into existence out of nothing. And the people of God, by faith, believe this. And we live our lives accordingly because this truth, this doctrine, this truth about God as the creator is life-changing. It affects how we think about the world and to think about life. And so we confess it in the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth. And we live out that in our lives. That's a part of the Christian worldview, that there is a distinction between the Creator and creation, a distinction that many in the world confuse and do not accept. And they coalesce the two and try to make God equal to the universe. Both our confession and catechism state that God created all things in the space of 6 days. And this is what the Bible teaches. These are literal days. And we know this for a couple of reasons. Number one, each day is marked off by evening and morning. That is, the day begins at sunset, not sunrise, in the Jewish mind, in the way they kept time and day. So the evening and the morning were the first day. And so that's one indication. But we also have numbers, day one, day two, and so on. And those things together are only found in Scripture with literal days. And we have to acknowledge that sometimes the Hebrew word for day, yom, is used of a period of time, of an age, and so on, like the day of the Lord. But when it has a number and it has evening and morning, it is a literal day. And there are 6 literal days of creation. Biblical Christianity, in opposition to the materialism of the world, sees that matter is not eternal. Only God is eternal. And to have a world without God, the world embraces various theories as to how everything got here. Variations on evolution. The universe came to be as it is over millions of years, gradually getting better and better, organizing itself into the amazing and complex world that we see around us. Of course, by experience, we know that that is the exact opposite of how things actually work. Our cars don't get better, they run down. Our bodies don't get better, they run down. Our animals that we love run down and die. The world around us is going downhill, not uphill. The testimony of Scripture is that God instead created all things in a short period of time. Personally, I believe in a young earth. All history barely goes beyond 5,000 BC. So Exodus 20, verse 11. So we read the Ten Commandments as we did this morning. And the Ten Commandments, which are given by God to Moses a long time after Genesis 1:1, says that God created in 6 days. Exodus 20, 11. In 6 days, the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea, and all that is in them, and rested the 7th day. Therefore, the Lord blessed the Sabbath and hallowed it. If you think about it, the challenge is not, did God create in 6 days? The challenge is, did God create? Creation in 6 days is no problem at all for an omnipotent God. If your God is too small to be able to create all things in the space of 6 literal days, your God is too small. Also, your God is not the God of the Bible. The God of the Bible is omnipotent. He is all-powerful. He can do anything he wills to do, and he can do it at a word or a thought. So, 6 days to create the universe is nothing to God. The real question is, did God create, or is material, the material world around us, what is eternal? It's also important to note that when God was done creating, it was all very good. There was no sin, there was no death. Adam and Eve had not fallen, had not rebelled. Death came through Adam's sin. And it did not exist before that. So Romans 5:12 says, therefore, just as through one man sin entered the world, and death through sin, And thus death spread to all men because all sinned. There are Christians and even some Reformed folk who want to embrace God and evolution. They want to try to make science and the Bible fit together. And so there are various theories that they've developed. One's theistic evolution, that is, God worked through evolution and guided it, but God was there, but evolution was the tool. There's the day-age theory. That is, they were not six literal days of creation. They were six ages. Could be millions of years for each one. A variation of that is the framework theory. The other is the gap theory between Genesis 1:1 and 1:2, that there's a gap. It could be billions of years. But these are all unbiblical efforts to harmonize creation and the Bible. But they fail, and they are rejected by science, and they are rejected by the scriptures. A major problem with these theories, in addition to them being contrary to scripture, and is the clear text of Genesis 1 and 2. They either do away with a literal Adam, or they have death before there was an Adam. And either way, they contradict the teaching of scripture. You can't have millions of years of everything developing with death and the scripture, which clearly teaches there was no death until Adam and Eve. So the catechism is right and scriptural. When God was done creating, there was no sin, there was no death, and he pronounced it very good. Because of Adam's sin, it didn't stay that way, though. And is not that way now. But the scripture tells us one day it will be. In Revelation 21:1, I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth had passed away. Also, there was no more sea. And God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There shall be no more death, nor sorrow, nor crying. There shall be no more pain. For the former things have passed away. That's verse 4. Because of what Christ did upon the cross of Calvary, someday a perfect universe will be restored. One without sin and one without death and pain and tears and all of the misery of this world. It will be that perfect world, all very good, and that for eternity. Those are the choices a God who created, or the universe and the world, as your God, as your master. Shall we pray? Father, thank you for the teaching of your word and the knowledge that we are not on our own fighting just to survive and then entering into oblivion. But you are the eternal God who has brought about creation for a purpose and a reason. Even the sin and the death and the pain of this world for a reason, for a purpose that you are working out and through which you will bring glory and praise to yourself and blessing to all of your people. So, Father, we pray that you would increase our faith and our trust and our confidence in you, even as we face all the afflictions and trials of life, knowing that you are the eternal God who is omnipotent and watching over us each and every day. Encourage us, Father, with this truth. In Christ's name we pray.